The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening where we're in chapter 11 in Genesis. We're in the analysis of verse 6. All right, if you've not already done so, now's the time to ensure that you are in fellowship, utilizing the rebound technique as necessary in this regard so we can once again this evening profit from the study at hand. So with that in mind, I'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, your plan is perfect. Your attributes ensure its fulfillment. We thank you for these things, for your perfect plan. We ask that once again this evening, God the Holy Spirit, enlighten us to these things so that we can have a clear perception, a clear read in regards to life in and of itself, not compromising your plan in this respect. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the scenario of Operation Babel, we saw in verse 5 using language of accommodation, picturing man's endeavors here to, if you will, challenge God in throwing off the yoke of his geographical directive will to disperse themselves over the face of the earth, i.e. nationalism, and otherwise flexing their muscles via this city and tower supposedly reaching into heaven. We see that contrasted with God himself, looking at the endeavors as being at best infantile, puny, if not just plain stupid, when one contrasts what they are going up against in regards to God in his attributes of omnipotence especially and omniscience in that respect. And if there's any way they think they can fly under the radar, obviously that attempt is laid to rest as they cannot evade God's person in regards to their endeavors. Mankind itself cannot. And God obviously quickly assesses their situation, their endeavors, to include their intentions and motivations behind these things. This is the divine assessment, rereading verse 6 now. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language." And this is what they begin to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So again, as we've already seen in Genesis, Yahweh critiques their activities. The same Yahweh that did so in regards to the human race in the antediluvian period, pre-flood, reading the very hearts and intents of mankind at being continuously evil during the demonic infiltration period, that piece of history. Again, we see it occur, and he obviously is now going to intercede because a condition has arisen, once again, that's going to upset the plan of God, if not dealt with in a affirmative and aggressive fashion, if you will. Just pick up point 6, page 16 of our notes. The phrase here in verse 6, they are one people, highlights Genesis 10, obviously, in its recording that all mankind is descended from Noah and his three sons. God himself here once again reaffirms what Moses has already told us with direct narrative here, direct quotes, that these all have, all the people have come from the lineage of Noah, as well as the fact of having the same language. So it highlights that aspect once again as a condition of mankind universally at this point in time, immediately after the flood. Seven, but a problem arose in their corporate status via a common tongue, and they all had the same language, Washafa Ekad Lamed Kol. Shafa meaning literally lip. Don't give me any lip. Now, you might say that to your kids, see. Don't give me your interpretation of language. Eight, the early history of humanity was a history of a singular language, the mother tongue, as we so refer to it, as obviously already noted in verse 1 of the passage, chapter 11. Nine, however, men took that which was a blessing from God, a means to communicate, to express one's feelings, one's thoughts, what they perceive in a manner that articulates and defines at an extremely high level. And a man took this blessing from God and now are abusing it in attempting to build a single society with a man-made religion. Ten, the principle is that which otherwise is legitimate in life is made sinful when it opposes Bible doctrine. Many blessings in life are abused by negative volition, unbelievers, as well as reversionistic believers, turning something otherwise legitimate into just another avenue to feed their sin nature. And this is, again, is something that the adjusted believer has to be careful of in their own approach to life, to not let otherwise legitimate things in life become distractions, compromising Bible doctrine at whatever level opportunity may avail itself in that regards. So 11, their common language here in this situation is utilized as the, quote, source, end quote, of their unity and strength to form a new world order as symbolized in the city and Tower of Babel. The means to communicate, originally designed to express the divine viewpoint as man would assimilate it and regurgitate it in regards to their experience of life itself. Now they have twisted and turned it under human viewpoint into a means of communication to unify the people, to rebel against God, conspire against God, throwing off the yoke of nationalism as otherwise he has decreed under the Noahic covenant. 12, here we have the beginnings of this activity, and so God had to act to frustrate such an endeavor in order to keep his purposes on track. While things go on for a while, often in an evil realm, it doesn't always mean that they are going to be successful, and ultimately none will be completely successful in this respect. And God knows if it is not corralled now, it doesn't put out the fire as it exists now, that history will burn itself with respect to God fulfilling the intentions of his plan of salvation for man as it would unfold through the messianic line, etc., and fulfillment of history otherwise. So we have the beginnings of this activity to unify man universally under a new world order, or a one world order. 13, the clause, and this is what they begin to do, looks to the consistent and persistent abuse of the common language at the reins of negative volition. the mindset of this type of negative volition is to continue to explore persistently avenues and alternatives in regards to avoiding the restraints of Bible doctrine in their life. It is consistent, it is persistent, and they have, if you will, a goal in mind under this avenue of thought. Again, it's a reminder that we have two schools of thought we can draw upon as we analyze and look at life and understand it. Two viewpoints, two areas of viewpoint that we can draw from, either divine viewpoint, what God thinks, how He thinks, i.e. the content of Scripture, Bible doctrine, as we understand it in that respect, or the cosmic system that we refer to as human viewpoint, is that viewpoint which, at any level, is antagonistic, if not outright distorting, rejecting Bible doctrine with something completely opposite in many cases. So they have taken the means to communicate, to avail themselves of learning about God, all the blessings that He otherwise would have in store for mankind if they would avail themselves of His Word, of His will and plan for man, and turn it into something that their open declared enemy of God can utilize in an attack against God in the angelic conflict, that is Satan himself, under the principle here of nationalism versus internationalism. So negative volition is indeed persistent in regards to their endeavors. Many are extremely zealous and will go down fighting to see their ideology and philosophy otherwise being carried out and carried through in regards to the course of history. We, on the other hand, we expect God to back His Word. We are here to represent it, to witness to it. But when it comes down to any type of exercise of true power to authoritatively enforce it upon the world, that obviously is left to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what they begin to do in the parsing I brought out in this phrase, the word to begin means cause to begin, a piercing, and it's a hifil form. So they cause to begin, they cause to wound, literally. So 15 or 14, the hifil infinitive of the verb they began literally means they cause to wound, and looks to convoluting their common speech into a weapon for evil. Wounding the words and communication of man is the idea, is the picture, see. Injuring it by distorting it, convoluting it into something that God does not otherwise sponsor and uphold Himself. And the first infinitive here looks at a continuous action in their manipulating the human language to this end. 15, this particular verb looks to a change in an existing condition with the idea of beginning something different. Obviously, once again, with the advent of the flood, Noah and his family were the only people left alive on the planet. They were believers, positive believers, at that point in time. Noah, obviously, being the head of the family, being the primary prophetic communicator in that regards, beginning life once again with the purity of Bible doctrine, and how short it was in time before the offspring of Noah's loins began to distort it and appeal to something other than the truth of doctrine, trying to throw off the restraints of doctrine otherwise in their lives. So what began initially as a means of teaching sound doctrine, communicating with sound doctrine, changes drastically during the course of human history. And again, this happens very, very early on after the flood. How many generations removed from Noah before we see the effect starting to take hold and then exponentially spreading itself throughout the human race as it got bigger and bigger. All you have to do is look around you, and you can be reminded truly of the cherished positive volition that is of the extreme minority of the human race, those who hold to sound Bible doctrine, especially the entire council, in regards to their approach to life. Most people, some areas, at some point, throw off the yoke of doctrine and absorb the human viewpoint in the vacuum of their soul otherwise in their lives. The use of this verb, this just shows you, this point shows you how this verb works in its action. And we saw in Genesis 4:26 where we had it was used in a change of genealogy volitionally with Seth in contrast to Cain's line, Seth's line. Then otherwise 6:1 and 9:20. Two, now the second infinitive, to do what they are causing to do, continuous, durative, if you will, what they are causing to wound, to do, literally, looks at their purpose, and this emphasizes their human viewpoint pursuits in life. When you lead with human viewpoint, then your actions will end up being human good. What one engages in, no matter how great of sacrifice it may be, even in humanitarian respects, if it's under the umbrella of human viewpoint, it falls under the bracket of human good. If it is not within the realms of God's absolute righteousness in rulership over the individual engaged in the actions, that too is human good and is not worthy in regards to one's eternal destiny in terms of where they will be to begin with, salvation phase one, or what level of existence they will enjoy in regards to one's phase two. 17, in essence, negative volition ends up spinning legitimate blessings in life into fodder for their STAs. Food, hay, if you will. To lunge under the sin nature. Obviously, we understand that. And what might otherwise be legitimate because we preempt or compromise doctrine in some form or fashion, obviously our actions do not glorify God. And so it is with negative volition. All that God has blessed man with, they treat it loosely in terms of utilizing it under the umbrella of grace and full intentions by God for man in regards to these blessings. They utilize it to serve their sin nature. So their sin nature has avenue to lust, pursue, and other aspects of the sin nature. And it becomes worthless It's a waste before God. Here we have a good example of something that is otherwise completely innocent in and of itself, language. Now being used as a source of evil. And it truly reflects what people are doing, pursuing life at the expense of Bible doctrine in their lives. Taking phase two, blessing, glory, etc., and exchanging it for eternal glory, as it is simply to serve their own sin natures and fleshly bents and trends in that regards. Galatians 5:13, 1 Peter 2:16, Jude 4, all exhort not to take the freedoms that were given in Christ and turn them into avenues of immorality, STA, other type of behavior, licentiousness, etc. Many have, many do. They use this to appeal to people's other people's STAs. Pastors are not beyond this. Many of them subscribe to it as they will cater to it in regards to their ministries, turn blind eyes, things of this nature. That's one of the things that is so refreshing in regards to adjusted churches, is that you have a communicator that does not cater to this. Here's the truth. It goes against you. Well, that's your problem, not mine. See. Not that they don't care. But that's the in and out of it. And to not be shy to point out what is wrong as well as what is right. When you get under doctrine, what you need spiritually is discipline in regards to your life, and that demands first and foremost veracity, truth, to line you out in regards to your thinking so that indeed you can make the adjustments necessary to please God. Otherwise, pursuit under the sin nature, even legitimate things, are not pleasing to God. Right woman is a blessing from God. See. But how many utilize it under the terms of doctrinal restraints and guidelines in regards to their lives? So what if an unbeliever marries another unbeliever and they are perfectly in harmony with one another and all that they think and say and do otherwise? Is that going to get into heaven? What a waste. See, find that in regards to positive volition. Then you got quite a scenario of a blessed marriage. And where all that begins is like-mindedness in regards to Bible doctrine. That's our foundation. If one partner departs from that principle out of an otherwise adjusted marriage, the problem then exists in regards to conflict, in regards to the marriage, especially if the other partner's not willing to compromise and cater to it otherwise. To think alike so that when issues, STA and otherwise, do come up in a marriage or any other type of relationship, you can apply it across the board. You have the same board of reason and the same execution in regards to, or formula in regards to, correcting the situation, coming to terms, and that is the truth of Bible doctrine. It doesn't mean that your STA is any less more agitated at certain times, but nevertheless, still the just believer knows, okay, yeah, you're right. But you anyway, you know, or whatever. But you got the doctrine. It's the same. See. And what path your partner is going to take in regards to the thinking. So blessings, blessings from God? Are they being utilized to serve your STA, or are they being utilized for their intended purposes? And that is to glorify God in regards to one's experience with them. So 18, when certain activity, as in this case, becomes global, these types of people run under their sin natures, endangering the freedom of God's plan for positive volition, point 18, He, God, then flexes His overruling will to protect the right to choose for or against the plan of God. The human viewpoint plans, even the most secretive and powerful of schemes, as we know, that is occurring right now before us in history, does not go unabated completely by God. And if it comes to a certain point that it's obviously going to endanger God in His protection, the positive volition, fulfillment of His plan in that respect, you can always expect God to step in and do what's necessary to change the course. And obviously He's not limited to, you know, simply splattering them against a wall or drowning them all. God is, the ways God can come in and overrule people in the directions that they're going, probably as numerous as your imagination can come up with. And when He sees something that is obviously endangering His plan, here the danger exists in regards to the expression of positive volition, that freedom among humanity as history continues down its course. God then flexes His omnipotence and He overrules. When we get to phase three, we'll probably all be somewhat, obviously in the right perspective, taken aback in regards to how often God's probably overruled in our own lives. Around us all the time, there are people out there that want to do us harm. There are people want to close our doors. They're there, whether you recognize it or not. But God continually frustrates and overrules to ensure His plans being fulfilled otherwise. Here, as we know, in regards to our dispensation, the Holy Spirit's direct hand in restraining the ultimate evil until the church has finished its course. Just as eating from the tree of life would have thrown a monkey wrench into God's plan, and God preempted this by placing an angelic guard at the gates of Eden. That situation, scenario, similar. As the fruit of the tree of life had some property attached to it that would have corrected the mutation of the genetic code that brought about the death gene. Unfortunately, it would not have corrected the sin nature gene. And you would have had a situation of people being able to live forever with the sin nature. 90. Now one language, in this case, in this scenario, now one language has become an obvious facilitator for their evil purposes, for mankind. Uh, 21, the adverb now, atal in the Hebrew, looks to their nefarious deliberations in squelching the truth of God's plan and enslaving men under their satanic evil. That one word, and now, nothing which they purpose to do, looks at addressing the deliberation, the deliberate actions of these individuals in their endeavors. God is constantly on guard, again, as we have been stating, constantly in charge and exercising judgment, and His omnipotence otherwise, against those who otherwise try to suppress the truth and unrighteousness in a way to ultimately squelch it in regards to Paul's Galatians' life otherwise. In Romans 1:18. Which obviously fits in context is it basically is a springboard to address negative unbelievers in life that reject God. For the wrath of God keeps on being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those trying to put down the truth, to eliminate it, they will not ever be totally successful. Even during the reign of Antichrist, they will not be successful. If God has to bring angels in, which He does, put special protection on 144,000 Jewish males, virgin males, to ensure that His plan is communicated and men are evangelized during the period of tribulation, so it will be. And what all He does to overrule obviously looks at His power exercised on behalf of those that stand for His plan. Doesn't mean, again, that people, population is not tested, that believers are not martyred. Yes, they are. But to try to stamp out in its entirety especially is fruitless, completely and totally worthless, and will completely and totally fail at all times in history. All right, 22. The excessive pride and ambition. A term for that is hubris. That's your vocabulary word for tonight. Just thought I'd throw that in. I didn't know it, but now I know. Hubris. The excessive pride and ambition. They're hubris. In the builder's undertaking, if you knew that word, then you're a lot smarter than I am in your vocabulary. Undertaking was a forerunner of further mischief that would have, over the course of time, interfered with God's plan to bring a Savior into the world. So again, point 22, the excessive pride and ambition in the builder's undertaking was a forerunner of further mischief that would have, over the course of time, interfered with God's plan to bring a Savior into the world. It was setting the foundation. It is laying the foundation, starting the paving in this direction, in this course of human history, what they were attempting to do there at Babel. And they would have, in some form or fashion, this is what you draw your conclusion to, some form or fashion would have interfered with the messianic line and the manifestation, the introduction of the Messiah to the world for salvation. And that through the means of squelching positive volition and eradicating it, maybe in the same vein as the Antichrist will attempt to do during the tribulation. Finds out you're a believer, you don't take the mark. He'll dispatch you without blinking an eye. See, get rid of him. 23, if all these and their descendants were allowed to concentrate their collective intellect on this project, there is no telling what they would have accomplished even in a relatively short time. That's the idea, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. That's point 24. This is the sense of the final clause. Nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. They're left unchecked, getting their minds together, putting all their energy and efforts and a singular agenda and goal. No telling what they might have accomplished otherwise in a relatively short period of time. 25, our verse strongly suggests that if left unchecked, technologies would advance rapidly, prematurely capturing the human race, without and that these technologies would have rendered all descent impossible, which is lo batsar, the Hebrew, literally being without restraint. To be able to put down any avenue of trying to express God's plan, the truth of His word otherwise. 26, the idea of the clause that these men would have done everything possible to thwart the plan of God. They would not have stopped until they came up with an idea, some means, some technology. 27, we know that in the near future, and maybe nearer than what we imagine, some type of technology will come aboard, robbing men of the ability to exercise free will after making a one-time eternal decision to take the mark of the beast, having a judgment of eternal proportions. Now, that's one of the maybe more confounding concepts brought out during the tribulation, is that individuals that take the mark of the beast, they are condemned to hell. Well, what about the issue of are they not able to repent? Can they not change their mind? Free will continues to exist. This is brought out, Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11, in regards to those who take the mark of the beast. Another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand. The mark that was related to back in chapter 13, verse 18. The understanding and the calculation of the number of the beast, 666, as is associated with that. He also will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which, continuing verse chapter 14, verse 10, which is mixed up in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and who receives the mark of his name. If you're in your research, look it up, and I've run across some already. There's already very advanced studies in regards to behavioral modification utilized in regards to vaccines, etc., introduced in society in this fashion. Saw a very disturbing video in regards to the success that's already been had in this respect, that they're able to take people that are overly aggressive and things of this nature. They introduce some type of virus that manipulates their emotional grid in their brain computer and subdues them. And the way they are introducing it into the body of people is through vaccinations. So you can take it for what it's worth. You're your own priest. You've got to figure these things out for yourself. You've got children, your own vaccines, and things of this nature. And don't be surprised when medical society and others may try to flip you off or ground you down in your decision making if you don't go with the main grain of their protocols. But to understand, these things exist. And to have something that is inserted in regards to the process of marking the individual, that somehow short-circuits their brain computer, making them very susceptible to suggestion, and basically willing to do what people tell them to do, etc., is not beyond imagination. If you've got a better idea of how it might otherwise be done, we can say, well, they made a decision they weren't ever going to believe. Okay, I understand that. But still, is there something else more heinous, nefarious attached to all this? I think there is. There's just too much stuff going on out there, covert stuff in science, in the field of science and technology, that people just usually want to turn a blind eye to. To us, it's extremely interesting because we see how some of this stuff will fit and will be utilized, possibly. See. The image of Antichrist in the temple, it's going to be so lifelike you won't be able to tell the difference. That's just how advanced the technology is. And what is it that Revelation says in that regards? Bring the people together, put your minds together, and let them come up with this, invent this. See, men support them. And when you get men together, the larger the numbers, putting their minds together, the greater you'll find generally the antagonism and rebellion in regards to Bible doctrine, God's plan otherwise. So no telling. Here we have a situation about 4,500 years ago that God intervened so that Satan's plan that is going to be ultimately find its apex, its pinnacle of success shortly in the future of our lives or after we're gone. In this regard, he did something to thwart it to happen prematurely. I think this verse right here puts to rest any idea that somehow people that lived back in this time were intellectually handicapped. You know, the old idea and concept of people just being nothing but cavemen, troglodytes, things of this nature. See, now people, man has had genius and brilliance in regards to their intellect since they were created. See, when God says nothing they purpose to do can be restrained, He means it. See, so He, if you will, delayed the advance in technology and otherwise put a binder on the human race in confusing the tongues that would delay this whole thing until it fits perfectly into His plan for today. Well, thanks, God. You could have done the overruled the angelic conflict and conquered it back then, you know, but we get to do it in that sense. Anyway, trying to insert a little humor. I know I'm not very funny most of the time. 28, today we live in an era where the barrier of multiple languages has been greatly removed through the advent of computers. What are we finding ourselves globally? We're coming back fast around to an area where language barrier is really becoming more and more of non-issue in regards to putting minds together, etc. So we have a similar, if not artificially induced situation today that we had that brought about this whole situation in the Tower of Babel. Alright, 29, now the verb they purpose, zamam in the Hebrew, means to devise, intend to do, and look to their plotting or scheming against God. Thirty, it highlights their negative volition, being ruled by human viewpoint in opposition to God. You know, there's that. Well, it's just people's ideas. You know, it's just their thoughts. There's nothing wrong or evil about any of that. Even though, I mean, the fact that we're not talking about something dirty or filthy or anything of that nature. You know, just different ideas that go contrary to as we may understand the Scripture explaining things. And believers just slough it off like it's nothing. And, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I can get along with you. We'll put aside our differences there or whatever. Well, let it go. Let it go. And you might as well just join up with the international religious movement of ecumenicalism. People that run under their human viewpoint, that proclaim and obviously evidence it in their lifestyle, that you don't have to be in Bible class, you don't have to apply doctrine, you don't have to apply all these doctrines in your life, you don't have to embrace all of the truths of Bible doctrine. It's not all that important. Just understand, they're in opposition to God. And the way I've always seen it, if they're in opposition to God and you're a just believer representing God, then they're in opposition to you. In that sense. Not in any overt, out-and-out combat. But philosophically, ideologically, and in regards to our very faith and beliefs. These people are not just in God's eyes. Individuals that, they're all right, kind of. No. They're not all right, kind of, before God. If you don't line up with doctrine, if you don't line up with God, then they're not all right with God. See? So, who would ever thunk it? This kind of doctrine comes out of the Old Testament, huh? It's all over the place. It's all the same. So, what they purpose is to advance human viewpoint in rulership over man's life. This all in opposition to God. 31 here and in Job 42:2, both verbs batsar, translated here, will be impossible, with a negative, no restraint, and zamam, they purpose, are used together to indicate thwarting God's plan or purpose. They're used together with that idea, Job 42:2. Verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, 2, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted, can be restrained. God's purpose. So it puts the ideas together. 32, see also Psalm 31:13. 37:12, 148, Proverbs 30:32 for the idea behind our word zamam, for purpose, to purpose. Psalm 31:13. For I have heard the slander of many terrors on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They schemed to take away my life. They purposed. Put it in this bad context. Scheming. 37:12. The wicked plots against the righteous. Schemes. Purposes. They will it. See, whatever everybody else is doing, they're willing it just like you're willing yourself to be in Bible class and embrace Bible doctrine. They are doing it in their own, with their own lives. And gnashes at him with his teeth. Nothing new under the sun. 140, verse 8, Psalm 140. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device unless they be exalted. The purposes of the wicked. Desires. The prayer there of David frustrate him. All men under reversionism in reversion are about is giving the old proverbial, you know, water round patting each other on the back type of scenario. Truly, in regards to the cosmic scheme. At Proverbs 30:32, I'll save what I was going to say for you can watch the movie. Or go to basic training and hear it. I don't care. If you have been foolish in exalting yourselves, or if you have plotted evil, our terms of mom, put your hand on your mouth. 33:8 is used of God in Jeremiah 51:12. Purpose devised. And then, that's on the good sense, and then for the bad sense, for nefarious human scheming in Deuteronomy 19:19. They're translated intended. 1 Jeremiah 51:12. This in relation to prophetic Babylon. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Post a strong guard, station sentries, place men in ambush. For the Lord has both purpose and perform what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. Use all your technology, all your power, all your wealth to defend yourself all you can, good old USA. But it's not going to stop God from destroying you in 1 hour, one day. So that's the idea behind that verse, by the way. And then his purpose, Deuteronomy 19:19, used in relationship to men. And their evil schemes. In regards to judging. The judges shall investigate thoroughly if the witness is a false witness, verse 18, and he has accused his brother falsely, verse 19, then you shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother. Whatever evil scheme in that regard. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. God's assessment is that, quote, nothing they literally plot to do will be withheld from men, end quote, if what they are engaged in is not foiled. It's more of a straightforward translation. 35, it is not the construction project or even the false religion begun at Babel that poses the biggest threat. But what was to be if the human race is allowed sufficient time to run unbridled in their pursuits? 36, the city and tower were only a facade, the eye candy for the cosmos, see. And distraction, get people distracted in regards to what God's will is really is, see. As to the satanic agenda, point 36, with the real danger being their ultimate aim to eliminate God's plan for salvation. It's not just the physical accomplishments that might be associated with their negative volition and their human viewpoint, pursuits, and approach to life. It's their ultimate determination and goal in life to oppose God, oppose Bible doctrine, and disrupt it, whatever degree they are able to do so in their own thinking and ability. Now, so what if you want to start an organization of ecumenicalism and trying to see, all the churches you want to get into, that's one thing. You want to join it. There's another thing to impose it and to try to construct it in such a way that if you don't become a member of that organization, you'll be sorry for it. See, that kind of idea. like the UN. One thing to start an organization is another thing to impose will and power and give it to the organization to make people regret completely for not being a part of it. So the city and the tower, point 36 again, were only a facade, an appearance, and distraction as to the satanic agenda, with the real danger being their ultimate aim to eliminate God's plan for salvation, whether they recognize it or not. 37, this is the core agenda of the conspirators, of those who were the ascended masters of knowledge, Nimrod, associates that fell in with him, etc., that then drug the people into their propaganda campaign. That's their core agenda, to throw off God's yoke. For Nimrod, it's obvious, as he came out of the line of Ham, God said, you will be subdued by your brothers. You will serve a life being part of this genetics, and this is what you have to acclimate if you become a believer out of that line, which you can. You can be an adjusted believer out of line of Ham, Canaan. Yeah. To adjust it, but not Nimrod. Screw that. And nobody's going to tell me what I can't do. Especially this God. That type of attitude. 38, God knew exactly what he had to do to forestall a universal tyranny where impossibilitation would be denied access to the truth. 39, this situation unchecked would have become as much a threat to the advancement of the lineage of Messiah as the angelic infiltration that brought the flood on a corrupt humanity in its own space and means in that regards. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.